I think the Snuggie is God's greatest invention.
That is true. That was, I believe, made on the eighth day after he rested. He was like, you know what would have made this rest day a lot better?
Yeah. I was going to say, that's what he made in order to really relax.
He was like, I made mankind in my own image, but this, superior to my image. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I don't know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today we're looking at Series 3, Episode 3, Gridlock.
Arr.
That's my favorite Transformer, Gridlock.
That's the sound that Gridlock makes.
So today we are going back to New Earth. Do you remember the planet?
I know that we've been there before, but when you said that, I just had the thought of New Earth.
There's a New Mexico? No, this is we're returning to New Earth, the same planet we were on for Series 2, Episode 1. That one was titled New Earth.
Was that the kitty cat nurse? That was
the kitty cat nurses, indeed.
Kitty cat nun nurse.
Yeah, kitty cat nun nurses.
With the scary torture chamber.
Yes, the
disease tube.
Yeah, the human experimentation going on.
Human experiments.
But for this one, speaking of the cat nurses, let's get into the Cassie Profassie for this episode, I think. As we are returning to New Earth, there are cat people again. We're seeing more than just the nuns this time. We get to see parents. Cat parents. And...
cat parents!
I would like for you to tell me how you think the cat people babies look like.
How the cat people's babies look like?
Yeah, because in...
what the cat babies look like?
Sure. How do they look? Because in this episode, you get to see...
Well, yeah, but how do they look is... they look good, or... they look bad. What do they look like is okay. The question you're asking.
All right. What do the cat people's babies look
grammar
like?
Grammar police. What do they look like?
This is the grammar police. Hear about an Oxford comma?
Jeez. Oh, what do they look like? I would imagine kittens, but since you're asking me that question, I have such a clear image. Of a drawing, it's a made-up drawing, but it's one that I would have done as a kid, where it was not furry art, but
okay.
It was like a cool kid wearing a hoodie, and they have a little kitty cat face and big ol' ears, and they're not a furry, but...
So you're probably thinking of like a... like an even smaller version of Hermione when she takes that that apologies potion coming off of Harry Potter from last episode.
Oh my goodness. Well, because I'm also really trying to figure out what else they could look like. And just
You did say kittens.
Yeah, but I don't know that they would walk on fours. I think they just do look like babies.
Let me describe it another way. How do you think they achieve the effect of a baby of the cat people then?
Oh.
Do you think it's...
oh, you're talking... this is a practical question now.
Yes. Like, do you think that it's... like, do they have a baby they put makeup on? Do they have a CG baby?
Oh.
Do they replace the baby with something?
This is an entirely different question, Zach.
Yes. I realize this is maybe a better way of achieving
yes. What I'm going for here. Okay. Now that really... just the ang that makes me put my teeth into it. Fuck. Because I think this is before the time of those, like, have you seen those silicone babies?
I don't think so.
They are these hyper realistic. There's a particular artist that makes them.
I think I saw one on TikTok actually just last night.
They're these hyper realistic, like, newborn babies, and you can get them of humans, but they're also, like, when Avatar came out, they were a bunch of Na'vi babies.
a lot of times people get them just because they love babies, or mm-hmm. if you are unable to have a child, then that's something that you can get and carry around.
There was just like an aesthetic fascination of theirs.
Yeah. There was one day that a woman came into the cafe, and we spent the entirety of the time she was there trying to guess if her baby was real or fake because it was not moving. It was the most still, like, pristine sleeping baby I have ever seen. And there was no way, that this baby was real.
Okay.
Until it went, meh. And we went, oh, that's a real baby right there. It made a single sound. And it confirmed one person's suspicions that it was real. And it completely blew my theory of it being a silicone baby out of the water. All it takes is a sound, Zach.
Yeah. So, jumping off of that, I genuinely think this might just be, like, a painted baby doll. They definitely do not use actual felines. That would be insane.
Okay.
I don't think
that it's practical to use actual babies and put makeup on a baby.
Okay, so you don't think it's real babies? You don't think it's a real living thing?
I don't
thing
think
right
it's
away.
A human. I think it's either... It's either like a little puppet.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out what's cheaper though, puppet or CG. Because CG would...
This was 2007.
I know.
Honestly, it was probably being filmed in 2006.
So CG did look a little bit better by that point, but it still begs the question because they do like their practicals. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's a practical.
So you think it's they made a little puppet?
Yeah, to make puppet or doll. Like I'm not. I don't want to stick myself into a particular box. But if the debate is it CG or is it real? Well,
we could even open it up a little bit and just say it's a practical handmade thing to stand in for.
Yeah.
Baby. That way it doesn't feel like it's cheap if it's a different puppeteer.
It is something that was made.
Okay, that works for me. And then, so the second part of the Cassie Prophecy today is this episode sees the return of a character you have previously stated to love.
Captain Jack.
Well, I'm going to give you three choices.
Captain Dalek.
It is either the face of Bo.
Oh my God, I love him.
Captain Jack Harkness.
Oh my God, I love him.
Or the Absorbaloff.
I forgot him.
that's the guy from the episode where a guy fucks a brick.
Oh no. I hate him. Absorbaloff, I think I said it the last time. That sounds like a drug.
My heart says it's Absorbaloff just because that is kind of not a stretch, but
I mean, I'll say you've seen.
I want it to be Face of Bo so bad, and he was already there. He was on New Earth. He was in the hospital, and then he disappeared. So there is a good argument to be made that it's the Face of Bo.
There is a good argument to make that it's the Face of Bo.
Did I stop whatever argument you were going to make?
I mean, that was actually what I was going to say, was that you've seen the Face of Bo on New Earth. You've also sort of had clips spoiled for you that Captain Jack does come back.
Yes, but I don't know when that is.
That is true. You don't know when that is.
No.
Also, the face of Bo in New Earth said he would come back.
Now you're really pushing me in the direction of the face of Bo, which makes me think it isn't that.
Or am I?
Am I doing a reverse psychomagically on you?
I don't know. I think there's enough evidence to support Face of Bo.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Face of Bo.
All right.
Burnham.
The Face of Bo Burnham.
Yeah.
Just he's there. Randomly in the background of a Doctor Who episode, you watch all of Inside.
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Like 20 years before it came out. Oh, let's find out if the Children of the Cat People, which is a great name for a horror movie, if the Children of the Cat People are made as little puppets or some other sort of practical effect, and if the Face of Bo returns this episode as we watch Series 3, Episode 3, Gridlock.
Arr.
This episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by
The Man Car, the only car man enough to run on pure Kentucky bourbon. You can shave your beard with this car, but you'll only end up with more beard. The car's engine is so loud, it's illegal to drive in school zones. No one will ever question the size of your penis in this car. In fact, if you get into an accident in this car, we will personally guarantee it will kill the other driver. The Man Car, the only car where truck nuts are not optional.
And we are back from gridlock.
I get it now. Like traffic.
Yes, like traffic. Yes, they were caught on the Space 405.
New Earth 405.
Yes, where they just were stuck in traffic for years.
Technically, it's not new. It's the 14th, so it's new.
You gotta think David Tennant really was happy that he had to do that bit twice.
Yeah.
He's like, I memorized how to count to 15 news so fast, and I only got to do it once, and now... So, I guess we just start off with maybe the broadest point here. What'd you think, Cassie?
I never in our time doing this podcast would I have guessed that babies would be actual babies. And I said kittens. I even wrote down to be a little bit more vague... My prophecy being, children of the cat people are practical. I did not expect a basket of actual kittens.
Yeah, in fact, you specifically said, I don't think they're living things. I don't think they're babies. I don't think they're kittens is what you, like, specifically said.
I'm not trying to argue my case right now. Zach. I admit that I'm wrong. I don't need you to rub my own words in my own face like I'm a dog that peed on the floor.
Just smush them right in that face, in that cute little face of yours.
I don't need that. I do not need that because I know. And I recognized after the fact... Because I was going, what is the cheapest thing? Because if Face of Bo is in the episode, which he was, I was correct. But if he's there, then he's a pretty expensive thing altogether. So there, and with the cat people, all of their makeup is pretty expensive. So they're going to go with the cheapest alternative. Nothing is cheaper than a basket of kittens.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Good Lord.
They just found one of those. They just found a box on the street and just went, here you go for today's episode.
I would not be surprised if David Tennant was like, hang on, I have a basket of kittens in my house.
I, a magical Scottish man, crafted directly from women's fan fiction, just carry a basket of kittens and a bag of chocolate with me at all times. But more broadly, how did you think about the episode? Were you happy with, did you like it? Did you not like it? I mean, how did you feel about an episode of Doctor Who being effectively about a traffic jam?
Being a native Californian, specifically being somebody who was born and raised in the Los Angeles County, I am no stranger to traffic. In fact, that is one of my least favorite things about Southern California, particularly this area that we call home, is that I either have to leave at like 4 in the morning, noon, or 8 p.m. There is no in between. I guess that would be like 8 hours apart, huh?
Yeah. You have to move at 8 hour shifts to get decent traffic. Otherwise, because
I think about specifically when I go to visit my sister who is down Manhattan Beach sort of area. In order for me to get to her from where we live, I have to factor in if I'm not leaving here by noon, it's taking me a full hour and 45 minutes to get to her.
Mm-hmm. Or is not if there's no traffic, months. It takes you like 45.
Yeah. Not 6 years. Not 2 months. Like the people of Undercity New to the Power of 14 York.
Yeah. Where they had traveled 6 miles in 12 years.
Yeah. Which, like... Relatable. Now, is that just because they're going around in a circle?
That seemed to be the case, yes. That
okay.
The exits had all been closed off, and no one could get out. So it was a lot of like, oh, if I come back around, by the time I get around here in 3 years, it'll be open again.
All right, so kind of like when you're driving around LAX trying to pick somebody up.
Yeah, basically.
They haven't gotten their bags yet, so by the time I get back around here in the next 45 minutes, they should have gotten their bags by then.
Yep. Just that, but to the extent of like, by the time my son starts third grade.
Yeah. Otherwise, I liked it. I don't know that I'll say that it's a favorite.
Yeah.
But it's one where I went, not bad.
Yeah, well, they do a lot of fun things with it, like the fact that everyone is stuck in a car. They take a moment to just like explore different people living in these cars.
Yeah, I wrote down car interior montage. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Because boy oh boy, do I love looking at people's living spaces.
Yeah, we get all sorts of like fun novel alien ideas like Red Man and White Man and Man in Hat and Old Lesbians.
Don't forget Japanese, which I think, and they're Asian. We'll just say that they're Asian. That is literally the first time, though, I've seen an Asian person.
In Doctor Who. You know, I don't think you're wrong.
I genuinely believe this is the first time that we see, like, a featured, because there might be some background people, and I'm never going to excuse or say, like
even then, they're not named. They're just the people that gave him a bandana.
A purple bandana.
Which, you know, for you, relatable. Asian girls with a purple bandana.
And a lime green vinyl flooring that looks not on, like, alligator skin.
Yeah, just this is some real, like, Cassie content.
Mm-hmm, yeah. As we were watching it, I went, that would be my car. Or the old lesbian car.
Or the old lesbian car.
Yeah.
So let's just start off with the top of the episode where the doctor decides that he's going to take Martha. When he said one journey, he could stretch the definition a little bit by taking her one trip to the past and then one trip to the future. And so he decides to go to New Earth, which Martha points out is just him taking Martha to like his dates with Rose.
Yeah.
I think this is, and that's kind of where I was getting from when I was saying that some people, like, Martha's a lot of people's second favorite. It's not her fault. The fault is that the show is using her as the Doctor's rebound.
Well, that, and it's the first time we meet Martha, she's in school. She's presented as an incredibly smart and well put together, very thoughtful, thought-having person. The more that we see her and the Doctor interact, the more she just is kind of thirsty for the Doctor, and the Doctor is not interested. And she even says it a couple times of like, you know, he doesn't talk, he doesn't say anything. If you look at the amount of time that they've spent together, it's been 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, it's fully been 3 days. I don't meet people and into 3 days knowing them saying, I just don't get them. They don't talk. Like, I should have a deep understanding of that. I have known people for 3 years and I'm still like, yeah, I don't get them. I don't know.
I think for Martha, it is also a little bit of just like, she's an incredibly smart, gifted, capable young woman. And here is this like, brilliant spaceman who can go through time and space that she's like caught feelings for, and he's hung up on, I mean, not to be too mean to Rose,
a sales associate,
a 19-year-old dummy.
Whoa, Zach, that's mean.
I mean, well, I just mean that's like, Rose is not a book smart person.
Rose is simple.
Yeah.
Rose is uncomplicated.
Yeah,
I think.
Is uncomplicated. And so there's a part of it.
Dummy is rude. That's what I call people I don't like. Dummy is what I call you when I'm angry with you. Dummy. Uncomplicated.
Yeah,
now,
she's
different.
Uncomplicated. But you know, it is very much like, I feel like there's a part of it where Martha's like, she knows herself, she knows what she's worth. And she sees what the Doctor is worth, but the Doctor is not responding in kind. And so I think there's a part of it where it just feels like if they weren't traveling together right now, like literally unable for her to leave. She should have just been like, dude, this date's not going well. I've almost died 3 times since we met. I'm good.
Yeah, but also, I know that there have been times where it's like, oof, you know what? This thing, let's just say like a job. This job sucks. I hate everything about it. I should just up and quit. Oh, but then I won't get free things. Oh, no. Oh, man. I don't get the opportunity to get myself a little treat on the reg. Oh, man. I can't leave. So I think that might be where the doctor is unto Martha as a little treat is unto me.
You know, you may not be wrong.
I'm not. Because if you met somebody who could say, I could take you to any point in time, space, you name it, we can go. With this like manic pixie dream girl energy. Yeah, even if they're a little bit annoying, I'd be like, oh man, this person sucks. I could go see dinosaurs though. Like that's kind of cool. Because that is the one thing I want so bad. If time travel ever becomes a reality in my lifetime, which it probably won't, but you never know. Never say never. I want to see dinosaurs so bad. I want to go back to prehistoric times and just look at some dinos.
See them big birds.
Oh my goodness.
Hear a Tyrannosaurus quack.
Yeah, just not bring back a souvenir necessarily, but like I just want a big old dome feather.
Feather.
Yeah, like that's just, I'd want to take a camera and just take a bunch of pictures, but really fuck with people and bring like a Polaroid.
Cassie would be first in line at Jurassic Park.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of my favorite movies. Fun fact that often gets overlooked in our household. Jurassic Park is one of my all-time favorite movies because I want to see dinosaurs so bad.
I did skip over one little bit, or actually a couple little bits here. One of the other cars at the very beginning of the show, I don't know if you caught this one or not, but...
American Gothic.
Yeah, they were dressed like American Gothic.
Yeah, no, I said, what's American Gothic doing in space?
They're new American Gothic.
But their vehicle was not fun and decorated.
Yeah, it would have been nice if it had looked kind of like a farm or something.
It was kind of boring.
Yeah.
But I was concerned a bit why American Gothic was there.
Because, Cassie, the American dream was dying in that motorway. Or something. I'm sure somebody...
Well, they were going to where the air was cleaner. In Brooklyn. From what I understand, Brooklyn is not...
I mean, it's a city, so it's as Brooklyn clean as any city.
I know that a lot of people shit on Jersey. I don't think I'm allowed to. I'm not anywhere near from the East Coast.
You've never been to Jersey, so you can't...
I've never even seen a Jersey.
not a new Jersey.
Not an old Jersey.
Not a hockey Jersey.
Mm-mm.
Never seen none of them.
Nope.
I see sports guys, and I cover my eyes.
I'm a Jersey virgin. What can I say?
Jersey. I don't know. There's something in there.
Losing my virginity.
Before they leave the TARDIS, Martha asks if they can go to see the Doctor's homeworld.
I wrote down Time Lord lore. We got more.
Yeah, you got to hear how Gallifrey looks.
How he came from Planet Claire. I know she came from there. Mostly, because if you know the lyrics of the song, which you clearly don't, it's that Planet Claire has pink air, all the trees are red, no one ever lives there, no one has a hair. That's the only thing I can think of when you're describing any kind of planet. That is not, the trees are green, the sky is blue, the dirt is brown. Because in this case, it was the planet as a burnt orange sky, red grass, mountains capped with snow, 2 suns, and silver leaves on the trees.
And then the capital is a citadel encased in a big glass dome.
Glass onion.
You know, you're not wrong. You do eventually get to see Gallifrey coming up in the show, including that big glass dome. So you get to see how those words are translated into actual CG later. So as the doctor takes her out to see New York, they find out they're in the slums and it's raining. Which, good job, doctor. What a great way to start this date.
Yeah, also, good job, doctor. Taking her to the slums?
Right?
Yikes.
And here on this illustrious first date, you get to meet four drug dealers.
They're not selling drugs. They're selling moods.
Right. They were selling happy, anger, forget, I think is what they called one of them.
Yeah, forget isn't a mood.
Yeah, neither is honesty. Honesty's not really a mood.
The honesty patch is the equivalent of the zone of truth spell. That was the fakest laugh I've ever heard.
No, it's not it's not a fake laugh. It's because I'm a little sick right now, and my lungs hurt when I laugh, so I can't laugh as hard as I normally do. Don't make fun of sick me's little laugh.
You said a funny thing. Ha ha ha.
I'm wearing laughy pat. I'm wearing the laugh patch. That's what's happening right
Jeez.
Now.
Jeez. I would rather you not laugh if that's what I'm going to get. I got one authentic laugh from you earlier in this episode, and I went, that's the first time it's ever been real. There. Nope.
Oh, man.
New choice, yeah,
there,
bro.
There was honesty. It was when we saw it in sleep, which sleep's not an emotion either.
No,
that's just
and you can actually, you can buy a drug for that. That's not.
There are so many sleep drugs.
Yeah.
This date started with going into the slums in the rain, then they meet drug dealers, and then she's kidnapped.
By two people with a gun, question mark?
Yeah, they're like holding her at gunpoint, and the doctor is like chasing after them as they carry her into their car.
Yeah, doesn't really seem to be putting up much of a fight from either end.
Yeah, it's sort of a very weird, like, mechanic just to get the story going. Like, it's a little forced. They do find an interesting way to do it where it's, we need three people to get into the fast lane. They don't explain why when the doctor's like, I need her, don't take her, why they don't just say, then all four of us can be in the fast lane. Because I don't understand why three adults would get you into the fast lane, but four would be too many. I mean, I understand the concept. We have a similar thing here in LA with the Diamond Lane, that if you're carpooling with someone, you can go on the faster lane. It's not like if you're carpooling with too many people, you can't come here.
No. I'm also surprised that there wasn't a system in place of you can pay to go in that, because we have that as well.
Her carjackers, as they call her, do promise to bring her back after they've gotten to where they're going, which apparently is going to take 6 years, just in time for their currently unborn child to start school.
Yeah.
Because they can move 10 miles in 6 years. Which begs the question, is there no way to walk there?
Well, no, because the way that it is they're under the city. I don't think there's any way that you can go from under city to over city.
There's not like a staircase or...
Well, because the doctor was out. There is obviously a way that you can walk around under city. I don't know if that there's any way that you can get up and through without having some kind of pass.
I imagine there's some kind of like maybe the exit.
Because the way that it's also explained later on is that the face of Bo is like powering the systems to keep the undercity like operational.
Yeah.
So but there isn't enough power to like open the gates and let everybody through.
Yeah. So I have to imagine that's the same is true for whatever stairs or elevators they might have.
Mm-hmm.
That you just like you can't get up right now. The only way up is through the motorway, as far as everyone knows. Because by the time you get there, you don't realize the exits are done. You'll loop around again. The doctor chases after them and winds up in the car of one Thomas Kincaid Brannigan.
Thomas Kincaido. Kincaido O'Brannigan. O'Malley the Alley Cat. That's what I was laughing at earlier.
He's got a basket of kittens.
And a human wife.
That he does. You get to meet Thomas Brannigan, his wife, and his basket of children, who, as you've already said, are played by real kittens.
I Hey, I never guessed real kittens.
And I will say, I'm so charmed by Branigan's actor. He's doing so well through all that makeup.
Yeah. Thomas Kincaid. Branigan.
Yeah, something about...
Why did they have to call him Thomas Kincaid?
I don't know. I think they just thought it was funny.
That's a painter.
Yeah, I mean, it is a painter. I assume that it's sort of the same reason the other ones look like American Gothic. There is sort of this idea that just, like, they're all echoes of modern American life in ways that I don't even think they realize.
I guess.
That's sort of an interesting idea, because they're also in, you know, they're still in New York. They look like American Gothic. They're named after American painters.
I guess it's one of those things, one of those...
It could also be that this show is made in the UK and the writers were just like, what are American things? What can we name?
Thomas Kincaid, American Gothic.
Cats. Cats is written by Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's British. It doesn't matter. Do it anyway.
Lesbian old ladies.
Are those Americans? Are lesbians only in America?
Yes. Yeah, it was one of those weird little homages that I didn't understand, nor... But I'm realizing now, I don't think there is anything to understand.
Yeah, I don't think there's a point to it. I think it was just either a throwaway bit or literally them just playing 20 questions with what American stuff do we know?
Yeah.
And as they're driving around, the doctor starts pointing out to them how fucked up this whole system is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no police cars, there's no ambulances, there doesn't seem to be any kind of first responders. It's just them driving around in a circle.
Well,
because
he tried to call the police, and it said that a representative will get to you shortly. Please hold.
Yeah.
He goes, what do you mean, please hold? You're the police!
Yeah. And then one of the Cassini sisters is apparently a car spotter and just notes every car that comes on the motorway.
That's called autism.
Grandmautism.
There you go.
To point out that as the doctor is like really reinforcing this, like this is fucked up, something is wrong. Suddenly the radio starts playing Old Rugged Cross.
Which is a song I've never heard.
Yeah, I think it's because you were raised Catholic, because that's a Protestant Christian song.
Gotcha, yeah.
Which, another one of those, like, I feel like this is way more British than I was prepared for when I first watched this. Because, you know, in America, we don't have an established state religion, but England has the Church of England, a Protestant church.
Okay.
So there's a very real possibility that they were doing this, that was just how they felt would that part of culture would exist forever, because to them, that's British culture. But to an American, like, that's weird.
I was very aware of, like, this must be a British thing, but then I was trying to figure out what the American equivalent would be, because it is effectively a keep going, like, you will have,
like, I guess
this is your cross and someday you will wear your crown. I'm trying to figure out though what the
Star Spangled Banner,
I guess. America, well, because it's not America the Beautiful, because that's all about how...
Highway to the Danger Zone.
Maybe.
Born to Run. Baby Got Back.
Pardon the USA.
Toxic by Britney Spears, as we've already established, Lives Forever.
Yes, it does. I can't think of any American artist right now, except for Miley Cyrus. 9 to 5.
Yeah, anything by Dolly Parton, really, would probably be up there. That's what I mean.
Could you imagine once a day, though, the radio playing 9 to 5 on every station, and everyone just kind of has to stop what they're doing and sing along?
It's that Everything is Awesome sequence from the beginning of the Lego Movie.
Yeah.
It's very, how do I describe it? Like, it feels mostly like they either couldn't afford or did not want to pay the rights to a different song, so they put something out of the public domain, and it's just got weird religious connotations.
Well, no, because it's They're driving the motorway is them with their rugged cross, and them getting to the clean air of Brooklyn is them wearing the crown. Like, there is a very fair argument to be made of why that particular song was chosen.
Yeah, and I suppose the religious connotation could also be that the cars do look like coffins.
I think it's more of the, like, this is your journey that you're taking. Mm-hmm. This is your... not literal cross to bear, but this is the thing that you have to do in order to, I don't want to say reap the benefits, but there is, I suppose that is a religious connotation of do good in life. And then when you die, you'll, you know, you'll go to paradise. And
I mean, isn't there also the, when Jesus died after crucifixion, the story is that he goes to hell for 3 days.
That is one story.
Yeah.
Certain books of the Bible do talk about that.
Yeah. So that,
not the ones that we read at my church, because that's scary.
So this could very well be their version of, like, you're in hell for 3 days, only your hell is being stuck.
You're in hell for 3 decades.
Yeah. You're in hell for 23 years and your hell is the highway.
Oh my God. They're on the highway to hell.
That's what they should have performed.
Yeah. Fuck.
That would have been so much funnier.
It would have been funnier, but you wouldn't have had the payoff or the, you know, the intellectual conversation we're having right now.
That is true. That is very true. And then the doctor decides that he's going to take matters into his own hands, and he starts hopping cars. But first he tosses the coat to Brannigan and says, "I love that coat. Janis Joplin gave me that coat," which means that one of his past iterations met Janis Joplin, got that coat, and then didn't wear it for like 100 years.
Put it away in the closet, intending to wear it on a special occasion, forgot about it, and then found it when he needed a new outfit to wear. Relatable.
Now I've got to wonder which doctor Janis Joplin would have given a coat to. I guess as we watch more, maybe you can tell me which one you think gave it to him.
Mm-hmm. That sounds fun.
So many games we play every time we watch a new doctor.
Hey, you know what? That's what makes it spicy. That's what makes this podcast interesting.
And when the doctor finally gets down to the bottom car, he opens it up to see what the monster is at the bottom of the motorway.
It's the crabs from Finding Nemo.
Yeah, it's the Macra. And I have a hang up with the Macra in this episode.
The crabs from Finding Nemo.
But yes, the Macra are sort of a surprise appearance here, because the Macra are a classic Doctor Who monster. They showed up in the classic series, but they haven't shown up since the second Doctor. In fact, the story that they're in has missing episodes, so it's not really one people can go back and revisit until more recently, because they've animated those missing episodes.
Gotcha.
But at the time of this, they hadn't done that yet. So it's sort of a weird pull, especially because anyone who knows the Macra knows that those are very different from the Macra that came up with the second Doctor.
Well, because he said that these ones are beasts.
Yes.
So...
yeah, these Macra have basically been living in the motorway, consuming car fumes for billions of years, getting bigger and bigger and dumber. And so now they're just like, all they know is eat and grab.
All they know is...
fine dining
smoke
and breathing.
Weed every day.
You know, you're not wrong. So the original Macra... they were smaller than that. And this one, you could see they could hold a whole car in their claw. The originals were very large crabs. They could hold a whole person in their claw. On top of that, they were also psychic and could mind control you. And so there's a part of me that's really disappointed that the Macra we get in this series are not mind control, empire building crab monsters.
They're simple.
They're just simple. We're down here at the bottom of the highway eating your tailpipe fumes.
Yeah, they don't need much.
So, you know, like I said, I'm not devastated, obviously. Like, it is what it is. It's just, man, I can't help but be wonder how David Tennant would have handled giant mind-controlling crabs.
I probably would have yelled at them in Scottish.
Would have yelled at them, "I will get Martha from you. She will be alive and well when I find her."
Yeah,
because exactly. He enunciates very loud when he talks, very angrily.
I think that's to prevent any of the brogue to come through.
You know, you're probably not wrong. I really like that sometimes you can catch David Tennant, like, as he's doing his, he, like, juts his lower jaw forward.
Yeah.
A tactic the kids these days call mewing.
No. It's not jutting the jaw forward as much as it is sucking your tongue to the roof of your mouth, so that way this area, not, like, double chin necessarily, but that area of your neck and skin.
It's, I guess I misunderstood.
I mean, it might be.
Do you think the face of Bo mews?
No, the face of Bo doesn't need to do anything. Which also, his eyes. There was just something about Bo's eyes.
He has kind eyes.
No, like his literal actual eyeball. There was something about these particular eyeballs that looked so real and authentic that it's kind of, I just wrote down Bo's eyes like, whoa, because you know how eyes are, like how they operate. It's your iris and then your pupil is literally just like a black void that goes straight back into your skull and all that stuff. Fun stuffs. Typically for eyes like that, like that's on puppets, it's like a resin half dome on top of just like a flat like picture. That's a cheap, easy way to do it. His looked real, and I'm really grappling with the giant eyeball.
I mean, there's a few reasons why that could be. There's
like a squid's eye. Like, it's an image in this. It's a something that is really sitting with me and I can't shake it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few reasons why that could be. It could be one, because it's so much bigger than your average doll that they can really get some detail into the eye.
Yeah.
There's also that he's in a big tank. And so he's slightly obscured by glass and smoke. And so having just like a little bit of obscuration makes your brain fill in more information.
Well, no. It wasn't when he was in the tank, though. It was when the tank shattered and he was on the ground.
Oh,
and
he's just a face on the floor.
The way that the light was hitting it in particular, it looks like a full-on real eye. And it is fucking with me.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I really like how well the face of Bo is held up across three seasons.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Novice Haim breaks into that last car and teleports the doctor away to the face of Bo, where, as we've established, the face of Bo is keeping the entire Undercity alive.
Also, we love Novice Haim.
Yeah, Novice Haim, it's really kind of, I didn't pick up on it as much in the first one, but you can kind of tell here that the makeup is definitely blocking her nose. Because Novice Haim talks like this sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Because the makeup is blocking her nose from being able to, like, communicate. So she sounds a little congested at times. It's kind of funny.
She's a cat.
She's allergic to herself. That's what it is.
Aww.
But yes, a Novice Haim reveals that the entirety of the Overcity was killed because everyone was taking this drug called Bliss. And it mutated in the system and created an airborne virus that killed the planet in 7 minutes flat.
I mean, I know that there is the thing of, like, if the sun were to, like, go out, we wouldn't know for 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. I don't know if it's 7 minutes exactly, but something like that for sure.
8.5. It's a lower number of minutes. Not that this has anything to do with the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's interesting that both instances of life ending happens in a matter of less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, something like that for sure. It's because at first you like see the Senate's full of like skeletons and like people, and like there's a guy where a podium was and he's just like fallen over. And my first thought every time I see that, because I forget that it's like, oh, they die in 7 minutes. You look at that, you're like, did they just not move as they died?
They couldn't elect a new speaker, Zach.
Congress still to this day. Pesky Congress.
Can't elect a new speaker, so they all died in their seats.
But then they're like, oh, okay, I get it. They died so fast, they didn't have time to do anything. I get it. That's fine.
Could you imagine everybody taking a drug, though, that
causes COVID 5 billion?
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone just like, bleh.
Because, you know, like, there would be some people that just, I don't trust the stuff.
I do enjoy that the excuse that Novice Haim survived the virus because the face of Bo protected her in his smoke.
Yeah, because her being the face of Bo's nurse is her penance for keeping
human experimentation.
For keeping thousands of humans in, like, sick chambers, sick closets.
Yeah.
Illness tubes.
But I do really like the image of just like, there's a virus killing everyone. What am I going to do? And then just a guy just vapes in her face. You're fine now. cotton candy.
You're not wrong.
So the doctor decides he's going to route power down to the Undercity to open the roof and let all the cars out. And one of my favorite moments is just like, what are you going to do? And he goes, this, and he knocks a lever down, and everything goes, ooh. I really enjoy the hyper-confidence that he says, I'm going to do this, and it all shuts down.
Yeah, as if they haven't tried that before.
If I turn on the on switch, and then the last jolt of power comes from the face of Bo, but because the face of Bo is just a big face, him exerting effort does just sort of look like he's farting.
He can't do a lot,
yeah,
Zach.
No, he can't.
He's a big fucking face with human eyes.
Doctor, I give you my last.
Doctor, I give you my last. Oh, yeah?
And so And the doctor also yells out, don't you go dying on me, you big old face.
That's what I'm going to yell at you.
I want that. I like that. I might get that tattooed on me at some point.
Really?
Don't go dying on me, you big old face.
Wow.
That just feels like a good tattoo quote, you know?
No, it doesn't, but okay.
maybe it's just you big old face.
No.
Although now that we're talking about it, the face of Bo does sound like a bitchin' tattoo.
Yeah. Over your face, though.
Over my face?
Yeah.
Just on my forehead?
No. Just like when you close your eyes, there's Bo's eyes.
And so the doctor opens the roof and then projects himself onto everyone's radio in the motorway.
Yeah, because the traffic reporter was just a hologram.
Yeah, and then he tells all of them to drive up, and I'm like, there's a miracle that there's not just like a 50,000 car pile up.
Yep.
It's like, because they say there are millions of people in the motorway, and you just told all of them that after decades of driving they finally get to go somewhere else. Like, can you imagine how quickly like that guy in the hat on the bottom floor is gonna like ping pong his way through the entire motorway. Like, it's going to make a jackpot sound at some point.
It's as if you are trying to exit an airplane and they say, okay, everybody leave at once.
Right?
You fucking can't. Not without kicking out some windows and phasing through walls. And you realize the windows are too small. You can't crawl through.
But as the face of Bo exerted the last of his energy, he does in fact fall onto the floor. Just a big old mess of face.
Doesn't fall anymore, just kind of slumps onto the floor.
Yeah, he's sort of half on the floor. It's kind of funny that, because you know, typically when a human is getting their death scene, they get like propped up against something. They try doing the same thing with him, but he's just a big face. So it's just sort of like if you laid a plate at an angle.
Yeah, you put a mask up against a book.
Yeah. Martha's brought to the Senate to meet with the doctor, and the doctor and Martha sit there with the face of Bo as he dies, and the face of Bo says, "You are not alone."
And then Martha goes, "Does he mean me?"
The doctor goes, "Nah, can't be you."
That's so stupid.
This date is just horrible, start to finish.
And also, you've known the doctor for 3 days, Martha. Martha Jones, the face of Bo, a billion-year-old being?
Yeah, just being.
Thing is not referring to you. a 3-day relationship. No.
It does spark the doctor and Martha talking about the Time War and the doctor being the last of the Time Lords.
But my thing with that is that Navasheim does say that on his last breath, the face of Bo would reveal like a secret to the Traveler.
Mm-hmm.
You are not alone is not a secret. That's just a reassurance.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
That's not a secret. A secret would be like, the red Swedish fish is currant. Oh my God, that makes sense. That it's currant flavor. It's red currants, of course. Like, that's a secret. We don't know what the flavor of the red Swedish fish is. It's not. It may be red currant. It might not. So nobody fucking knows. The face of Bo might.
I mean, he's lived for a very long time. You know, I've been there when they started making Swedish fish. If anything could be that old.
Swedish fish is billions of years old.
Swedish fish are the face of Bo's babies.
Face of babies. He can't procreate.
Yeah, he's just a face.
This big old face. He got lots of living to do.
Do you think when the face of Bo was young, he was like...
A baby face?
He was like a real Mac Daddy?
No, I think he's always been that way. I think, honestly, I think the face of Bo is God.
You think the face of Bo is God?
I think there was the one day there was the face of Bo, and then there was everything. On the second day, the face of Bo made the earth, the wind, the trees, the space. Although the creation schedule, according to the Bible, does seem to gloss over other planets and stuff. Uh-huh. So I think that the Big Bang was created by the face of Bo going, Big Bang. He breathed it to life. He manifested the Big Bang. That's my theory.
What if I told you that later on in the show, we actually do get to find out what the face of Bo is?
Oh my God.
Well, that is true. We do actually eventually get to find out more about the face of Bo, even though he has breathed his last breath.
What?
And maybe we'll find out on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Hiya!
You know, it's fitting that this episode about being stuck in a jam for too long comes out a couple of days late, huh? Well, thank you to all of you for your patience. As I alluded to in the episode, I have been sick for a few days, and it delayed me being able to get this episode out on time, but all of you were so kind about it on our various social medias, so thank you so much to everybody for that. If you would like to follow us on social medias, you can find us on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, and Instagram at WIMDPOD. That's WIMDPOD. If you'd like to make me feel like a special little boy, please subscribe to this podcast and give us a like or 5 stars wherever you're listening to this podcast. I'm mostly over being sick now, so there shouldn't be any delays on next week's trip to New York in Daleks in Manhattan. We'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Who's Days.